probably about 30, 35 years ago, there was a book by a rabbi, Harold Kushner, and the title of the book is Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And he asked a question that we all ask throughout our lives, throughout centuries and generations. Why is it that good people seem to be afflicted so often by bad things, and sometimes the bad people aren't afflicted at all? And he looked at things like cancer and disasters and wars and all the other things that happen in our world, and his answer was almost sort of because they do. We live in an imperfect world, that the world is in flux, the world is always changing, and things around us change, so sometimes we try to catch up and the world around us changes. But the truth is, it's not from God. God does not smite us or doesn't strike people or flick us off the face of the earth. Rather, bad things happen just the way our world is. But there are things that are bad because of our humanity. And those things are things we need to talk about. For St. Thomas Aquinas, there's a value in personal reality as the most perfect grace that exists. Because our personal life, our personal entity, we take on the form, the image of the I am-ness of God. Life and knows itself and gives itself to the other. And this is not just simply some kind of glib speciesism or something of that nature that degrades all the kinds of life. It's an acknowledgement that we are made in the image and likeness of God, that we possess a freedom about us. We possess an intellect. We possess love. And in all of this, that we are called and challenged by our relationship with God and being an image and likeness of God to bestow that same goodness and value and peaceableness into the world. That the values that we come to know through God and the love of God, the way we live them out, should somehow point back to the God, the Father in heaven, the Creator, the one that gives us every good thing. That without persons, without people in the world, that the world be bereft of such beauty in art and music and sciences. God is the holy ground of being. God is the source of every good thing. But the existence of humans, our humanity, also introduces a problem in the world. Because that same goodness, that same freedom, that same intellect that we possess not only functions to exist with one another and for one another, the understanding that we are created in the image and likeness of I am, that sometimes, even though we should possess a moral goodness about ourselves and share and foster and nurture a moral goodness about ourselves, oftentimes that's not the case. Oftentimes, because we are free, because of our capacity of intellect, we sometimes possess ourselves so much that we look only at ourselves. We end up, as I say, sort of bent over ourselves, looking into our belly buttons, only at ourselves, only at our needs, only at what we possess or what we could possess, forgetting the goodness of the world around us, now allowing ourselves to entertain the needs and concerns of people around us. We become very self-centered, very selfish, and that's where evil enters in. And when evil enters in that way, it has all sorts of consequences, not just for ourselves, but for the people in the world around us as well. And that's why the challenge is to go back to that understanding, to go back to the realization, that foundation, that we are made and created in the image of I am, the eternal God and Father. A lot of times I talk to children in the grade school, we talk about sins and sinfulness. I try to get them to understand how our sins can affect other people. A lot of, I ask them sometimes, when mom and dad fight, what's it like in the house when mom and dad fight? And they all have their answers, their little hands go up. And they talk about how sad it feels. It feels ugly. It feels terrible. There's not a nice feeling in the house when mom and dad fight, or mom and their older sister, or mom and their older brother, or when two siblings fight and they argue, and there's some kind of brokenness in the house. And there's other times, too, they say things aren't just, things aren't bad, things aren't good. They don't feel good in the house. And they understand that. And little kids recognize that. They recognize that when we don't allow goodness or allow grace or compassion or kindness to be part of our daily routine, if the household is not a healthy household, it's just not a good household. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't nurture goodness or love or kindness or peace. They realize that. And our world today, and so often, it's like a madhouse, if you will. Much of the things that go on in our world and around us because of sin and evil, it continues to nurture sin and evil and promote more and more sin and evil. And there's a challenge for us as Christians. Our imperfect world, there's always going to be storms and earthquakes and sickness and disease. But when we engage in sin and evil, we warp and distort what is good. Sin and evil pervert what is holy and sacred or true. Moral evil, as St. Thomas Aquinas would describe it, is a deficiency or lack in the kind of human being that you and I have been created in the image and likeness of, where we are called to freely choose our God. Once we recognize and understand that God is the source of goodness, that God is a God who loves, a God of kindness, and bestows mercy upon us, our challenge is to choose all that God is about. Because sin is a negation of the truth. It's a rejection of our goodness and the goodness of one another. It's a radical lie about existence. And these are all these philosophical musings. And a lot of us, and we try to think about that, we try to consider, why is there sin and evil? Well, people make that decision. People make that choice towards sin and evil. And we break up the human family. We break up our human societies and the places that we work and go to school. We hurt each other and we allow violence and all sorts of other things that are painful to the human family to enter in. But as we go through Lent, we talk about conversion and discipleship, there is a bright light. And that bright light is standing around that Easter fire. And this year, without hopefully there's no big thunderstorms or windstorms and everything else, we're going to have the fire outside again. And to come out there and hear those prayers. And as the darkness begins to pervade around us, that we have this huge fire burning. And we take that Paschal candle and we proclaim the light of Christ. And we light that Paschal candle. We come into a darkened church. We each hold our own candles as well. And suddenly the whole place is aglow with that Paschal mystery, that Paschal love, that Paschal peacefulness. And that bright vigil standing before the Easter fire, that Paschal candle recalls for us, each and every one of us, that we are on holy ground because we are made in the image and likeness of God. We are on holy ground because we interact and engage with one another who are made in the image and likeness of God. And much like the cosmic march of the species that we are, men and women are called to pronounce the goodness of each other. We are called to give each other love and care and kindness. Because we are always being seduced by the great divider, the deceiver, the liar of lies. We are called as a Christian people, as we pronounce our faith, to reject all that is evil, all that is sinful, and live by the power of God. Because the bountiful grace and love and mercy of I am with you is always there. And it's that happy fault that allows us to come into the presence of our God. May his grace, his kindness, may his love, by his words, by the rituals, by our prayer and prayerfulness, by our works of kindness and charity, may our lives always be directed to that holy ground that we might stand before I am. Amen.